destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We'll do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
Alright, when it comes to 2-year-old Olivia Jane, you are not the cop.
Oh God!
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
That is right. What's up, guys? This is James Gutman. Today it's Friday. It is February the 10th. It is 2006. And this is Radio Free Insanity right here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. You guys picked a great week to check us out here. We're going to be joined in our second part by Primetime Elix Skipper, one of the wrestlers for TNA. The guy's been in WCW. He's been in WWE's developmental territory. And I guess, most importantly, he's one of the wrestlers involved in World Wrestling Insanity, the book, which is now available on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, many different countries, or wherever fine wrestling books about the insanity of the McMahon family is available. And guys, I'm really actually excited about this. Elix Skipper is one of my favorite people to interview, just because he's very open, doesn't really hold anything back. And I remember that kind of took me back when I first contacted him about the book, about helping out with World Wrestling Insanity, because, I mean, here's a guy, he's got a lot of talent, he's got a lot of experience in the industry, and you'll find that when you meet a lot of these wrestlers, some of them kind of a little gun-shy about really being critical of the McMahon Empire, especially when they haven't been on TV there. A lot of people, if you haven't wrestled for WWE on television, a lot of guys, that's kind of a goal in their career, so they watch their step and they watch what they say. With Elix, he doesn't really hold back. He lets you know what he thinks, good and bad, so that's what's pretty cool about it. And he's got a lot of strong opinions, and he knows a lot about the industry. He's been following it for a while, so we'll have a lot of fun with him today. We're going to talk a little bit about his time in WCW. One of the questions that I always wondered, you know, who was the craziest person he dealt with in WCW? Thoughts on Eric Bischoff. And then some questions about TNA. TNA goes primetime, and so do we. He's primetime Elix Skipper, and he built this house. This is his house. So it should be pretty cool. We'll have him on, and I think you guys will enjoy it. Also, next week, we're going to have, you know, in addition to our guests, we're also going to have David Wills is going to join us, one of our Insanity columnists, too. Speaking of Insanity columnists, and Dr. Tom Pritchard's first installment of Ask Dr. Tom just went up on the site yesterday. If you get a chance, check it out. The good doctor is answering some of your questions, and you can send over anything you have to Ask Tom at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Also, today is Friday, so tonight is SmackDown. And if you're one of the many, 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 many people who don't watch SmackDown, you can always count on Za to check in on World Wrestling Insanity with his rundown of what's going on. Also, Za, as many of you know, is Canadian. He's a magical Canadian, so he watches SmackDown when it originally airs on Thursday night. So he's been so good as to come onto the site, and he's listing the results on Thursday, quick results, and then on Friday with a more detailed recap. So that's pretty cool, too, if you're one of those people who don't want to wait until this show airs because you're too damn excited. So Todd will be there with all your results for you. So definitely check that out, too. Should be pretty cool. So let's talk, guys. Let's dish the ish and talk a little bit about the world of professional wrestling and what's been going on in it. Well, Monday Night Raw was not too strange, actually. For the first time in a long time, it was kind of a middle-of-the-ground Raw where it wasn't horrible. There was really nothing that stood out as crazily terrible. It just kind of flowed as we make our way to WrestleMania, setting up the WrestleMania car, which everybody is calling weak as hell. And I do have to agree, I think at this stage of the journey, we're now in February. We're closing in on the middle of the month. I mean, it's damn near Valentine's Day, and we really don't have a strong idea of where everything is going. And even if we do, it doesn't really seem like It's very exciting where everything is going, and that's kind of sad in a way. Let's look top to bottom what we have so far. We got Shawn Michaels and his conflict with the McMahon family. And yeah, I'm not thrilled about this, and I will tell you why. Shawn Michaels against Vince McMahon originally was something that I wasn't too high on the idea of. I get the concept, and I get that Michaels and McMahon really haven't wrestled each other, and I understand that, and I think that's cool. And Shawn Michaels does have people in his career like that. Everyone talked, in 97, for example, when Michaels hurt his back, he was feuding with The Undertaker, and people remember that, but very few people know that up until that point, or I guess back then they knew, but nowadays it kind of got lost in translation. Up until that point, Michaels had never worked with The Undertaker. So that's kind of what made that feud exciting, and I remember even back then watching it and being into the feud for that reason. It was something new for Shawn Michaels. The guy had been in the company since the late 80s. Undertaker started in 1990, and for some reason their paths never crossed, and they had just talked about this in some interview. So WWE paired HBK and Phenom together and had them work a little angle and work a match out with each other. And that was what was cool about it. Shawn Michaels had enough people on his list that he had not wrestled, and Undertaker was one of them. So McMahon kind of falls into that category with Shawn. Two of them haven't wrestled each other. There's been conflicts, those kind of stupid conflicts back in the day, DX kind of conflicts. But this is the first big one between the two of them. McMahon, for some reason, hates Shawn Michaels. He's playing the role of Satan. Shawn Michaels, of course, playing the role of God, because as we all know, when we die and we go to heaven, God's going to be wearing leather chaps. So here's Shawn doing his thing, and every time he turns around, McMahon pops out and gets in his face. And at first, the feud was all right. I'm never really too excited about seeing Vince in the type of feud that puts him as an in-ring performer equal to his other stars. But this one, I didn't mind all that much. For starters, Shawn Michaels isn't a 20-year-old. Shawn Michaels is, in his 30s or whatnot. McMahon, I say 30s, but yeah, probably, yeah, 30s. McMahon himself is kind of getting on in years. So, it's not horrible in the sense that they're not mismatched. With McMahon being, 80,000 years old, and he's wrestling some kid who's just out of high school. Their ages are a little bit closer than some of McMahon's other feuds. Kind of like McMahon and Hogan, which worked a little bit like that, too. So that was cool, and I was all right with that. Shane McMahon. That's where I have my problem. For those of you guys who are following a Royal Rumble, Shane McMahon popped down. He started doing the Shane McMahon, I gotta go pee-pee dance, and jumping around the ring, and threw Shawn Michaels out of the Rumble, even though... I don't know. I'm not excited about Shane McMahon being a part of this. And this isn't a personal attack on Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon, when used correctly by WWE, for all the people who don't like him, and I don't like a lot of the things that his character does. I think his character is scripted to be tougher than he visually appears to be. Shane McMahon is not a small guy. He's obviously the kind of guy that if you saw him, you'd be like, yeah, that's a good size, man. He could probably mix it up a little bit. But in the world of professional wrestling, Shane McMahon is not a giant among men. And not even a giant among men. He's not really on equal level with a lot of the guys that are out there. Skill-wise, just his look. He looks like an office worker. He looks like a large office worker, but still an office worker nonetheless. So I'm not excited about seeing Shane fight Shawn. In the grand scheme of things, when used correctly, Shane McMahon can play his role well. I think when Shane fought Test and had that whole feud with Joey Abs and the Main Street Posse, I think that was one of Shane's best performances. I think Shane against X-Pac in the late 90s when they were doing the D-Generation X, X-Punk thing when he had the European title, I thought that was great. I'll go on record with that, man. I'm telling you right now, everybody says, oh, you hate the McMahon family. I'm telling you, Shane McMahon against X-Pac, I think was one of the best feuds WWE scripted for the McMahon family early on. I think Shane and X-Pac was great. The two of them matched well. X-Pac was smaller. He was a good wrestler. Shane, was still afraid of him, that kind of thing. Shane's character began to evolve to the point where he was threatening Kane, and he was getting, put Kane in a limo and drove it into a tractor trailer or something. So it just started getting ridiculous. Shane started getting tougher and tougher and tougher as the years went by. And now we're at the point where we have Shane against Shawn Michaels. And this is definitely a case, at least in my opinion, of Shane being in over his head as far as what he's going to do against somebody else. Figure it like this. Shane McMahon, as we said before, doesn't really look like a wrestler. Shawn Michaels, on the other hand, has been wrestling into the last few years, on equal level with guys like Triple H, on equal level with guys like Chris Masters or John Cena and those type of opponents, Kurt Angle, and now you have Shane McMahon, who hasn't wrestled in about a year and a half. Last time he fought Kane, I think it was. He's starting to get gray in his hair, kind of pasty white, doing the same dance he's been doing for years. It does not look like two people should be fighting each other. Vince, on the other hand, is a damn maniac, and he looks like this jacked-up psychotic, he kind of is a jacked-up psychotic owner of the company. So, to me, Vince against Shawn, even if you don't want to see it 100%, is a much better match on paper, a much better match visually, a much better match to be able to suspend disbelief and enjoy than Shane against Shawn. So to me, I think that kind of waters down the whole conflict. I also think it hurts WWE in the grand scheme of things because you're really not sure where they're going with this. Where is WWE taking the Shane, Vince, Shawn Michaels conflict, and which one will it be who eventually ends up fighting Shawn? Now as we're heading into Monday, and you might be listening to this after Monday, if you are, this went up on Friday. You should listen to it on Friday. But anyway, if this is after Monday, Shawn Michaels having a retirement party on Monday night, so you guys can rush out and you can get him all those wonderful gifts, the Fruit of the Month Club, and whatever else he does with himself. And, we're all going to tune in on Monday. We're going to see what happens when Vince makes Shawn have a mandatory retirement. And obviously, this is probably going to progress the feud. But I think at this point with WWE, the problem that they're running into is that people aren't excited about the prospect of a Shawn Michaels Vince McMahon match because they don't know if we're going to get a Shawn Michaels Vince McMahon match. And I think that's kind of where the problem comes in. Shane McMahon being thrown into the mix as this weird outside element, I think kind of ruins it a little bit. And I think there's other people that could have been plugged in for Vince to use as kind of his backup. There's other people on the card that could have done the job very easily and kind of been more believable in the role. So that's the issue with that. Whatever, it's all good. Another match, this one actually just got kind of broken, was Candice Michelle taking on Trish Stratus for the WWE Women's title at WrestleMania. She announces on The Tonight Show, and this is definitely a good and bad thing. The good being that Candice Michelle is the closest that WWE has to a celebrity right now. She's just riding a wave of the GoDaddy commercial off of the Super Bowl. If you go on a lot of these websites, iFilm and things like that, they have it up there. We might not be all giddy over her GoDaddy dance or her uncensored Super Bowl commercial, but in the grand scheme of things, it's known. It's known by people. So, yeah, that's cool. And plus, she was on The Tonight Show. It's really all you need to know the night of the, around the Super Bowl time. So she announced that she's wrestling Trish Stratus. People are coming down on the situation because they wanted, obviously, to see Mickie James against Trish Stratus, which I agree with you. I think we should see Mickie James and Trish Stratus at WrestleMania, but I guess we're not. This kind of falls under the same line of last year's WrestleMania when we all thought we were going to be getting Kane and The Undertaker against Heidenreich and Snitsky. It was being built up as Heidenreich and Snitsky being a tag team from Survivor Series on, and then by the time WrestleMania came around, Heidenreich and Snitsky, I don't even think were on the card. I think they did that Battle Royal thing, maybe. I'm not really too sure. But they never used them in the role that we thought they would. And this is kind of the same situation. It's WWE spending so much time building up a feud and so much time building up the suspense that almost everybody under the sun assumes that we're going to be getting a WrestleMania payoff, and then we don't. And I think that's a mistake, too, on WWE's part. And the other reason why I do think it's a mistake to plug Candice Michelle in there, this is a very tunnel vision, almost living in the moment type of decision to make. Candice Michelle is really kind of popular right now because of the GoDaddy commercial. She's also popular right now because the Super Bowl was like a week ago. You know what I mean? By the time April 2nd comes around, not too many people are going to remember that GoDaddy dance. And to try to ride it out as long as they have, because they have been. She does the GoDaddy dance at the Super Bowl, and then they ride out that one dance for a year. And then she does it again. And then they ride it out for another year. It's just getting to the point now where I think it would have been a better decision to go with what you've built up already. To go with what people were somewhat interested in. Even if Mickie James isn't up to snuff in the ring with Trish Stratus, at least you have the build-up of the feud. At least you have some sort of culmination. And at this point, I was actually looking forward to, I thought we were going to get some sort of gimmick match, which would have been nice for a women's title defense. You don't really see too many of those. Some sort of match involved, maybe a steel cage or something, out of left field between the two of them that we're not used to seeing. So many of these women's title matches are like you know, just a regular match. Two women go in there, and they giggle, and that's the end of that. I would have loved to have seen some sort of significant stipulation attached to a match between Trish and Mickey James. Maybe some sort of crazy, you know, loser has to wear a straitjacket, you know, or if Trish wins, you know, Mickey wears a straitjacket, and if Mickey wins, she gets to make out with Trish. You know what I mean? Something like that. You know, and you mean to tell me that guys at home wouldn't look into buying WrestleMania if they knew there was a chance that they could see them make out on pay-per-view? I mean, obviously, Mickey would probably end up in a straitjacket, but I'm just talking because it's not happening. It's Candice Michelle against Trish Stratus. So enjoy that. She'll have a wand and do a dance and whatever. Now, keep in mind, too, I'm a fan of Candice Michelle because, you know, and I talked about this on Brian Alvarez's show, actually, a few weeks ago. We were talking about Sting. Just because I like something or don't like something doesn't necessarily mean I feel it's good or bad for business. I like Candice Michelle as a performer. I think she's come pretty far as what she could do in the ring. I think that her gimmick is evolving a little bit. She definitely seems a lot more comfortable. But I don't think that she was the best choice to put in there against Trish Stratus. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, and we'll see. But yeah, that's what we got so far with that. As far as the main event of WrestleMania, I mean, we're not talking about this Ray, Randy Orton, Kurt Angle thing, which I'm still sketched out about, guys. And I got to be honest with you, I'm still not 100% on where this is going. I know everybody's saying that Rey Mysterio is not going to WrestleMania. Rey Mysterio is not main eventing WrestleMania. It was reported by a lot of different sources that Rey would not be going to WrestleMania. This is actually reported before he even won the Royal Rumble. The day of, people were saying, you know, Rey's not winning. Not Rey. The winner of the Royal Rumble is not going to Mania. And then, of course, we followed that up with Randy Orton challenging him or whatever. Part of me, I mean, I still see it. For some reason, I think Rey against Kurt Angle would still be a money match. I think that based on Rey's gimmick, as distasteful as it is right now, with the Eddie Guerrero situation, it also plays into the fact that Eddie wrestled Kurt Angle at WrestleMania, losing his boot. You guys might remember that. That was when Kurt Angle slapped on the ankle lock and his boot came off, and you know, and Eddie was laughing and pinned him. So I think that match would definitely have some sort of significance. It does look at this point like WWE might be going for Kurt Angle against Randy Orton as well, though. And I think that would be kind of a good match. It's definitely not the dream match that it would have been 2 years ago. But Orton and Angle are two guys who have avoided each other. Haven't really wrestled each other much, if at all. I'm not really even sure how many times they've been in the ring together. But it's something new. It's something different. And it would probably be, I don't know. I can't picture it in my head how good it'll be. I think Kurt Angle can have a good match with almost anyone. At this stage of his career, he's starting to wind down a little bit, though. And I think people are starting to be able to tell that by seeing him in the ring and seeing how it's obvious he's kind of fighting through a lot of pain. The only thing about Kurt Angle, and I'll say this, and I've always said this about Kurt Angle, because I know he's got all of his detractors, and I've gone on record over and over again. I think Kurt Angle, in the grand scheme of things, and when everything is said and done, provided his story has somewhat natural happy ending and doesn't end in some sort of bad way, Kurt Angle is going to be remembered as one of the greatest wrestlers we've ever seen. I think Kurt Angle, all around, top to bottom, as a performer, on the microphone, as a character, in angles, in backstage stories, in the ring, Kurt Angle can almost do it all. Just an amazing, amazing wrestler. I've almost never been let down by a Kurt Angle performance since the day he arrived. I think as King of the Ring, as European champion, I mean, some of the things that he said and some of the interviews that he's given are all memorable. And that's what makes him such a great character, is that his character has been memorable. He hasn't just done things and moved on. The Stephanie McMahon situation, when he was all on Stephanie McMahon's, all on her ish, as they say, or as I say, because no one says ish, when he was after Stephanie McMahon feuding with Triple H, that was memorable. I even remember he did a face-to-face promo when he first arrived. He was wrestling Mark Henry. I remember he went into the ring with Henry, and he goes, told everybody, "Do you know where this man was the night before the Olympics? He was at a strip club," and everyone cheered. And I kind of remember the way that came out, too, because Angle's reaction to everybody cheering for a strip club was really funny, too. Kurt Angle, just he has a lot of the traits that you look for in a top-level employee. And it's funny, because a lot of the traits that we as fans condemn him for, kind of fighting through pain, not willing to step down, not willing to scale back his schedule, are the kind of things that promoters and people within the industry tend to applaud people for. And I think that's Angle's issue. So, yeah, I would like to see Angle scale it back. I would like to see him relax a little bit. But, I mean, he's got a determination. A determination to continue to perform on a top level. And that's something that people have to look at, too. Because, I mean, we all analyze Kurt Angle, and we talk about what he needs to do and what he needs to do for his own career and for his own health. But, I mean, the guy's an Olympic gold medalist. And, I mean, you really have to think about that for a second. This has nothing to do with America. It has nothing to do with what country you represented. If you're an Olympian, especially one who won a gold medal, you have to have a different level of determination than anybody else. And that includes people in the industry, because I know we talk about wrestlers, and, you know, and I slept on the floor of a sawmill when I began wrestling, and we used to eat rats that we found because we couldn't afford potatoes. I get it. Wrestlers are determined. But Kurt Angle, as an Olympic gold medalist, I mean, that's just a whole new level of determination. You know what I mean? So he's not the kind of guy that says, you know, my back hurts a little bit, I'm going to go take a nap. He doesn't do that. He's not a napper, per se. So he wants to give the best possible performance, because that's what he does. When he puts his mind to something, he does it well. And I think he's done it well. God willing, and hopefully, and I'm saying this as a fan, because as a fan, I love him as a performer, but as somebody who watches wrestling and kind of cares about the well-being of these guys, you hope that he takes some time off after WrestleMania. So hopefully that'll be it. So going into it, let's just hope that whoever he wrestles, he loses the title to, which now brings us to Randy Orton. If Randy Orton ends up going to WrestleMania, and Randy Orton ends up challenging Kurt Angle, I mean, it's conceivable that Randy Orton could win the world title at WrestleMania. Little sketchy, just because, you know, then you also have the other flip side. Does that mean that the two heels go over as world champion at the end of the night or not, or something like that? But as far as Randy goes, Randy's heading into WrestleMania riding this wave of anti-Eddie Guerrero sentiment, which is, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, the most disgusting, horrible, terrible, unsympathetic, distasteful, pathetic angle that has ever been scripted, in my opinion, in professional wrestling. I mean, this encompasses a lot. I mean, you're talking Heaven Needed a Champion, Von Erichs, looks like a freaking masterpiece theater compared to what the McMahons have done with the death of Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero died in November. He died on WWE's clock. He died while working for them, under contract to them, leaving a void on the roster, leaving a void in a lot of fans, I'm going to say hearts, because it sounds almost like I'm being melodramatic, but in all honesty, in their hearts, I mean, it was a heart-wrenching time, you know, when Eddie passed away. No one saw that coming, and no one saw it coming, but he was supposed to wrestle for the world title that week, and he died. And the show that he was supposed to, by all accounts, win the world title at, ended up being a memorial for him. So, I mean, it was surreal. It was painful. It took us. I mean, I run WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, okay? And I'm trying to run a website dealing with one of the most tragic situations in wrestling, almost wrestling history. I mean, honestly, no one on that level had passed away at such a sudden moment ever. You know, most of the guys are either, you know, they've been out of the spotlight for a while, or they weren't, you know, main eventing a particular show. And it took us 2 weeks to get our site back to normal, you know, to try to get into this jovial attitude. So we had a reverence for it. I think everyone had a reverence for it. I mean, Eddie Guerrero was somebody that people loved, you know. And WWE, the company that had it all, had him wrestling for them and had it all to give, as far as the memorials and things like that, and we share those moments with them, have now used that to get over a heel. And to me, I think that that's horrible. I mean, there's really no two ways about it. And we had Tom Pritchard on last week, and we talked a little bit about whether or not it was disgust or heat, because in professional wrestling, that's always the big excuse. It's always, you know, well, he's getting heat, you know, and I hate that, and that's one of my pet peeves. I think that in wrestling, people tend to let wrestlers and heels especially do whatever the hell they want, and it's horrible. And to say, like, Muhammad Hassan, you know, the day of the London bombings, he's going to simulate a beheading on The Undertaker. We're going to carry Daivari out as a martyr. And people are like, how the hell could you do that? And WWE's like, ha-ha, he's a heel. That's the reaction we want. It's like, no, stupid. It's not the reaction you want. He's not a heel for doing that. We hate him for doing that, but not in the... in the wrestling sense, you know what I mean? It's like a character dying on a TV show, and you know the actor who played the character dying on a TV show, and then using that real life death to kind of factor in it. It's just, it's, yeah. I mean, there's a difference between disgust and heat, and I think that if you're listening to this, you don't really need me to explain to you the difference. You know the difference because you feel it when you watch the shows. So not everything that a heel does gets heat. Again, I mean, to bring it back to another ridiculous example, I remember right around the time that we had. The Muhammad Hassan and everything came out, everybody said, well, drip from the headlines. Anything from the headlines is could be good for to get heat. And I said, well, when are we going to see the debut of Cletus the Aborted Fetus? Or even better, what about bringing in Scott Peterson for a guest spot via satellite, you know? Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. Well, why not? That would probably get heat, you know? Murdered his wife and baby. Why wouldn't that get heat? Because it's not heat, it's disgust. It's real life, it's a real life situation that people don't want to be dealing with when watching wrestling. And Eddie Guerrero is one of those situations. Eddie Guerrero's name, in my opinion, just like Owen Hart, should only be mentioned in reverence. And considering how upset I was when Roddy Piper used Owen Hart's name just to get a reaction against Vince Russo in TNA, I mean, this blows that away. This blows away Piper using Owen Hart's name just to get a reaction. I mean, Randy Orton said that Eddie Guerrero was in hell, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's... I mean, this is a guy who was just on wrestling. He was just there, and he was entertaining us. And we sit there, and a lot of these people, these naysayers, these Vince McMahon, quote-unquote, haters, that come down on McMahon for everything, and everybody says, you know, oh, McMahon isn't to blame for everything. You know, I mean, they're right in what they're saying, that, you know, to turn around and use this, and to use the emotions of the fans for this guy who was just wrestling there. It was just a part of the show. And he's dead, you know? I mean, in a real-life situation, he's dead. He's not dead on air. He's not Al Wilson. He's not Katie Vick. He's a real man with daughters, with a family in wrestling, with a wrestling history. And he's a guy who gave his life to the wrestling industry and in some ways to the McMahon family by going out there and dying while on the road with them and exposing his life in DVDs and things that they sold. And WWE turns around, and now he's dead. And they're using that as a way to sell a character. And it just... I don't mean dead in the Al Wilson, Katie Vick sense. I don't mean an on-air dead. I mean in real life. He had daughters, he had a family. And now he's not with us anymore. And WWE is using that to sell a character. And to me, I think that's repulsive. And... in some ways, I mean, I'm amazed by it. I wouldn't expect them to do something like this, and they did. And that's their thing, and I think in the grand scheme of things, it's not really going to help out Randy Orton all that much. I think it's hurting them far worse than they realize, because it's really making a lot of people resentful. It's one thing to be in a company and to think that your boss doesn't care about you, or to think, you know, to have this paranoid feeling of saying, oh, the owner of the company doesn't give a shit about my life or if anything ever happened to me. And it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to see another employee of that boss die and see that boss exploit that death for his own personal gain. If anything, it's almost like verifying your paranoia and verifying your feelings that you're not on level with them. So, I mean... yeah, I mean, pretty crazy on many counts for me. So, yeah, so Randy Orton. Back to Randy Orton. Randy Orton's doing the gimmick. And I bring this up because, I mean, I've talked to people, and I have the feeling, and I'm pretty sure it's going to get worse. I don't know. Hopefully it won't be. But some of the things I'm hearing are not good at all. If people are pissed off now, it sounds like it's just going to get not better, if you will. And it's just going to be a little bit worse. So Orton against Angle at WrestleMania. While it would be a good match, and I think that it's a good match to an extent, I definitely think also that it would have been better a few years ago. The issue that then springs up with that is, How does Orton ride that gimmick? Or is it just dropped by the time WrestleMania comes? Is he still doing the, Eddie Guerrero's in Hell gimmick? Jesus Christ. Is he still doing the Eddie Guerrero's in Hell gimmick going into WrestleMania? Or does he switch gears to fight Angle? Very weird situation. Does it turn into a three-way? Which is another possibility. Ray against Randy against Angle. I mean, there's different ways that they can go with this. I don't know. I don't know how excited we are. And as far as the other thing, I see Cena against Hunter. Done. That's what I see for the other half of the WrestleMania main event. The big surprise could be that Hunter doesn't win it. That could be the thing for Raw. We'll see what they do with that. WWE at this point, they have a lot of options, but that's not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes when you have too many options and you have too many potentials for WrestleMania main event, that tends to mean that you didn't really set yourself up well enough during the year, and I don't think WWE set themselves up well. I think a lot of unforeseen injuries, Batista, I think Ken Kennedy probably would have been featured a little more prominently this year, at least as far as being in the U.S. title picture, the Intercontinental title picture. I think there's a lot of matches that they would have liked to have had that just didn't seem to pan out correctly, and this is definitely one of them. If you would have asked WWE a year ago, where they would be going for WrestleMania, I think that their direction would have been very different than what they're doing now. I mean, I think we still would have had Cena against Hunter. I mean, that's not set in stone, but you know, almost, you know, positive. I think they would have assumed Cena versus Hunter, but I think that there were other things on the agenda. I mean, you got to factor in the death of Eddie. Probably changed a lot of their long-term planning. Kurt Angle jumping over to SmackDown to take over for Batista probably changed a lot of their long-term planning. So I think WWE at this point, I don't want to say is scrambling, but is definitely dealing with a different set of circumstances heading into WrestleMania than they're used to. And that's that. I mean, that's just the way it is. So WrestleMania 22 coming at you on April 2nd. So definitely, I don't know, going to be kind of interesting heading into it and see where we go from here. I'm hoping that we take it to another level and that we get kind of excited rolling into it, but as it stands right now, no one's really too excited. This is very different than a lot of the other pre-WrestleMania build-ups, and I think that the use of Eddie Guerrero's death to sell Randy Orton's conflict with Rey Mysterio is definitely leaving a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths to the point where it's kind of hard to get excited about it because it's such a somber, strange situation to deal with, but yeah, that's what we got. Alright, guys, insanity, anyone? Moment of insanity? Do you guys want to know what it is? Are you ready? You ready for it? Are you ready for it? I asked you, are you ready for the moment of insanity? Well, if you are, let's go down to it. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. It's this week's moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on that, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Robert Knockers.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. Beer is only a four-letter word.
The world's largest love machine, Viscera. Woo!
As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Shout to the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
Cause mama,
well, there you have it, guys. This week's Moment of Insanity was Shelton Benjamin's mama having a heart attack on Monday Night Raw. I don't mean heart attack in the Neidhart holds him up and Brett bounces off the ropes type of way. I mean heart attack in the heart attack sense of the word, as in her heart attacked her. Yeah, it went like this, guys. Shawn Michaels was supposed to wrestle the Big Show in a match that I was kind of looking forward to because I like when Michaels wrestles Show. I think the two of them actually have a weird chemistry. I think probably the only person on the planet who thinks that, but yeah, I was looking forward to it. So, of course, they called it off. McMahon came out and he sent Michaels to the back, told him to come back next week for his retirement party with Yerpel the Clown, and everyone will have fun. So, Michaels was gone, out of there. they call out Shelton Benjamin and his mother, Nell Carter, and they come running out, give me a break, plays over the loudspeaker, and everyone's happy. Shelton goes into the ring, and he's doing his thing, and I'm starting to like how Shelton's character is evolving a little bit. And it gets all messed up where Big Show ends up outside the ring, Shelton kicks him, he goes out, and Big Show chases Shelton outside the ring, picks him up over his head, throws him into the ring, and it's kind of an impressive show of strength. And Mama Benjamin, Thea Vidal, comes up behind him and starts kind of pounding on him with her fists. And he turns around and he breathes on her, which has to be smelly. And it causes her to have a heart attack, a fake wrestling style. I mean, don't get worried about Shelton's mama. She's fine. She's not even his mama, you know. If the fact that she called Viscera Benjamin during her first pay-per-view appearance didn't tip you off, it's not really his mom. So Thea has the heart attack. She's on the ground. And the announcers sell it as if their own mother was just shot on the street by a mugger. Joey Styles, man. And this is Joey Styles. This is the guy who's usually like five octaves above everyone else and excitement. Oh my God! You know, that whole thing he does. Joey Styles now is playing that whole, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a tragedy and Shelton's mama, our prayers go. It's like, Joey, come on, dude. But I mean, he had to sell it like that. I get it. It has to be a somber moment. So they bring her out with the stretcher, and the EMT's like, I'm not getting a pulse, Bob, I'm not getting a pulse. And really just a dramatically over-the-top type of thing. But whatever. I mean, it's wrestling, and you have to be dramatically over-the-top and then trying to sell it. Couple problems with this. First problem, of course, is that Shelton's mom and Shelton are comedy characters. And that's always been the problem that WWE has run into, is that they're hokey. And we know they're hokey. I mean, that's their thing. And, I mean, I used to criticize them for it, but I'm starting to come to grips with the fact that that's what the product is right now. WWE is a hokey, comedic in many respects. Even when it's being serious, it's almost comedic in the slapstick sense of the word, because a lot of the things that they do are ridiculous. And this is talked about, actually. I'm not just plugging the book, because, I mean, there's things that I bring up that I remember are definitely in the book. And this is in the book. It's the WWE. It's almost slapstick in a way that a lot of the things aren't sold anymore. If you go through a table, you don't take a month and a half off. You don't hide in a hospital anymore. Kayfabe is dead. You come back the next week. Lita took an FU on her live sex bed from John Cena, and she was there the next week, and she's like, hi, everyone, I'm Lita. And it's like, shouldn't you be dead or something? No. Okay, I guess you're there. So, wrestling is hokey, and we get that. The problem is that Shelton's character and his mama's character are hokier than anybody else on the show. They're actually, that's the whole idea of their characters. They're just silly characters. So to sell her heart attack, as serious as it was, came off very forced and very peculiar, very strange. To have the EMT saying he's not hearing a pulse, I mean, this is silly Shelton's mama, and she's one of those characters where you're supposed to know that it's not real. It almost reminds me a little bit of a Glow character. I mean, she's such a non-believable character in the realistic sense that you don't plug her into realistic situations, and that's where this kind of came from. So they're all upset, and Joey Styles is crying or about to cry and just very upset about the whole thing. Problem number two came in when the show continued, and everyone was fine. That, look, in real life, all right, the way they sold it, they sold the angle to almost be a real-life angle. And I kind of liken it back to Cactus Jack and Vader in WCW. And for those of you guys who didn't watch WCW, let me give you some quick background. In WCW, they did an angle. Cactus Jack fought Vader. Vader powerbombed him on the floor without any padding. I mean, there's a lot to the story. I'm not going to go into all the specifics of, you know, oh, what was real and what wasn't real. But all I do remember at the time from seeing it that is important now is that Tony Schiavone, who catches hell and high water from everybody, sold it really well. He went on there. It's very upsetting. It ended the show. It was WCW Saturday Night episodes. This is before Nitro. It ended Nitro. The Saturday Night episode. Schiavone was, oh, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what happened here. And it was this whole thing. And I remember watching it, and it really stuck with you. And as Cactus Jack was being brought out on the gurney, and the show ended. It was over. It was done. And that's what made the angle memorable, was that it was such a somber moment, and then the show ended. With WWE, they did this, they sold it as kind of almost on the same level. I mean, Styles sold it like Shivani selling Cactus Jack. Sold it just like that. And then business went on as usual. And that not only killed the momentum of that, that kind of realistically sad moment, not only killed the momentum of it, but it killed the angle itself. And it also kind of screwed up the rest of the night, because here you are, and you know, oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, she has no pulse, what are we going to do? Let's bring out Carlito, yay! And it's like, oh, you know, I don't want to go to the Caribbean, yay! And that's kind of what it was. And, on so many levels, it seemed like not only was it was the wrong tone for her angle, for her character. It was a wrong angle to put a character like hers into. And then on top of that, it was placed wrong in the card. You know, if you really want to do this, finish out a show with it. Or even better yet, you know what? If you want to do an angle where Mama Benjamin has a heart attack, why not use something like that to sell, you know, one of your B shows? I never understood that. Why they don't have more things happen on, say, Raw AM. Maybe Mama Benjamin comes in to do a guest hosting slot and Big Show comes out and gets in her, you know, something like that. Do it on a show where you can conceivably end the program with Mama Benjamin. Obviously, they don't want to end Raw with her. You know, she's not the top character of the show. You know, you could do it on Heat. Do it on the kind of show where she could, you know, believably be in the final segment. And that's the kind of way you do an angle like that. To do it, you know, three from the top on Raw was a mistake to me. I think that was, it hurt the angle as a whole. Now, good stuff. Let me give you guys some good stuff, because I always give you the bad stuff, and everybody says, you know, oh, you always get bad stuff. I like that they did it. I like that they did the fact that Shelton's mom was hurt by somebody, or indirectly hurt by somebody. Because the problem that you run into here is that Shelton's a heel, and his mom is a heel. So you can't have Big Show chokeslammer, because then Big Show's an asshole. Do you know what I mean? So you have to have something to the effect where she gets hurt, but not because somebody did anything to her, but just because she's a dramatic ass, you know? So Big Show turns to her, and he's like, and she, oh my God, and she falls down, and she's, you know, half dead. So he keeps Big Show as a babyface. He scared her, she got hurt. But it also finally adds to Shelton's character, which is what I've been calling for since they started it. Shelton's character has been a bitch. Shelton has been a bitch since the day they debuted the guy with his mama. He has been, mama, you know, and just in the whole, you know, mama's family type thing. And he's crying, and he's whining. Now, finally, he has a character that is based on revenge and based on anger. And it's based on anger at the Big Show for hurting his mama. And now we're going to finally get the chance to see the positive points of Shelton being a mama's boy. And that's why I didn't mention the match before, we're talking about it. But WrestleMania, Big Show, Shelton Benjamin. Good, bad, I mean, that's up to you guys. I'll be interested to see what Big Show and Shelton can do. I think Big Show is a good worker for a giant, and I don't think anyone gives him credit for that. I think he's got definite issues in the ring, always has. I think as a performer, though, he can hold his own. He's not Andre the Giant. A lot of people, you know, he's like Andre. He's not like Andre. The two of them are very different. Very different in the ring. WWE is a different company now. They used to limit Andre as far as what he could do in the ring. He wasn't allowed to do suplexes. He wasn't allowed to come off the top rope. Things that he did before he came to WWF, back when he was, you know, Gene Rizmoff or whatever, and did his thing and came out and did all these different moves, and WWF said, well, if you do that, you're going to be too much like a regular wrestler. We need you just to go out there and chop people down and whatever. And I guess by the time the company had progressed to the point where it would have been conceivable for him to do suplexes and things like that, he was physically unable to. But Big Show's not like that. Big Show's never been limited. I mean, obviously, they want him to wrestle more of a giant style, but he wrestles more as a wrestler, and he's able to do a lot more moves. And Benjamin, as we remember from last year's Money in the Bank match, you put that guy in a high-profile position, and he's going to wow you. And, I mean, he did it when he fought Hunter. He did it at the Money in the Bank match. I think Shelton Benjamin, hopefully, I mean, if anybody's going to get something good out of the Big Show, this will be it. That being said, though, you guys are a little apprehensive. So let me read you some of these emails that I got. And by the way, I have to read emails because the threads on the message board are getting a little ridiculous. So do me a favor, guys, if you are going to vote for the Moment of Insanity on the message board, make sure you actually do vote, and make sure you just make it a little bit easier to kind of figure out where you're going with things, because it was kind of a real big mess this week. A lot of side conversations. So just to make it easier and make it sure that that you have more of a chance of having your rant read, just make sure that you include your rant and actually do vote. But in the meantime, I am going to read some of these emails. A lot of these kind of get pushed to the wayside because it's easier to just have the screen of the message board in front of me as opposed to the emails. But here's some emails for you guys. Brian Henley said, "All this for Shelton's show at Mania? Terrific! I've been waiting for this match since, well, never." Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a way to look at the situation. I think that Show and Shelton is not the kind of thing that people were thinking of. I know a lot of people were pegging Shelton, Charlie Haas, God willing, if Charlie Haas came back, or ever is coming back, or what he's doing with himself. I mean, he said he was coming back, so I don't know what they're going to do with that. But Shelton and Charlie would have been a good match. Maybe Shelton against somebody closer to his own size. But Big Show is definitely a strange character to plug in there, but we'll see what they do with that. A guy, somebody calls himself Phillips, says, "What's it say about WWE? One of the most exciting thing they have heading into Mania is Shelton's fat mama having a heart attack." That's not nice. "I wonder if Joey Styles is going to burst into tears before he suddenly forgot all about her and called the next match." Way to go, Philip. You definitely caught the irony and all that. But yeah, as you guys read on WWE.com, Mama is okay in the fake sense of the word. So WrestleMania, so we're going to have Big Show and Shelton Benjamin, and you guys think it's insane. So that's this week's Moment of Insanity, is a Mama Benjamin's heart attack. You guys voted for it. Remember, voting starts now for next week's Moment of Insanity. So either head over to the message boards and make your rants legible, okay? Or you can email me, or you can email the Insanity, Moment of Insanity, at insanity@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. That's insanity@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. Be sure to include a rant. If your vote wins, you might have your rant read right here on the air. All right, guys, that's going to do it for part one. We're going to slip over to part two. We're going to invite Elix Skipper onto the phone line, talk to him a little bit about TNA and how his career is going. So check over there, and see you in a bit.
Brought to you by World Wrestling Insanity.com.